Anyway, praise God. How many feel it's a time in your life to dedicate your life, to rededicate, to be on fire for God, to cleanse your life, to restore your life? Because if you don't understand what God's doing and why your life is important, then think about this next generation. You know, Christian statistics say that we're losing somewhere around 85% of our young people. I think it's time that we go to war for our young people. You go to churches, Bible studies, and you have nothing but people like me, short, ugly, and old. And it's time we get some young blood in our churches, because we're going to pray God's... Oh, there's some young people. We're going to pray God's authority, and I think that God's authority is going to be poured out upon this earth. And it's going to be poured out to those that have a heart for God, those that have an ear for God, and those that want to serve God with part of their heart. No.
All of your heart.
So before we start, could I hear somebody say praise God and worship God? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I think it's time that we begin to understand that God inherits the praises of his people. And we need to praise God more often instead of complaining to God. Anyway, as our habit is, we review from last week. And so last week, Pastor Wendy taught on Yahweh reveals himself when he calls on you to intercede. So God reveals himself. We also see that God intercedes for his seed. We've got to understand, by the way, next week's Torah portion is called Toldot, which is generations. Generations are your salvation. When you get saved, you have the right to go to God and say, where is my generations? When we understand salvation, it's for your family, your generations, it's for you. And you weren't saved, you were redeemed because he knew you before you were in the womb. He hung out with you. He had baby talk with you. He tickled your toes, and you went, goo, 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 goo. And so God has a way of saying, do you remember that my spirit was upon you? And now it's my family and my generations. And God's going to raise up an army. The third point that Pastor Wendy had was authority comes through surrendering to God's will. I believe in these last days, God gave Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, all power, all authority, and Yeshua gave all power and all authority to whom? His bride, his disciples, those that have a heart for God. Not a heart for church, not a heart to be saved, but a heart for God. I once told a conference that how many people are saved and thank God you're going to heaven? And I said, if that's your only reason for being saved, you've missed the boat. God called you to be his witness. He's called you to be on fire for God. He's called you into this world. He's placed you into this world for one reason, and that's to raise up his name in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, Isaiah says, there'll be no end to the increase. Well, how many felt a little discouraged after things that happened in the election? And I'm not talking about Republican or Democrat. I'm talking about what you thought should happen. If what happened, you got a little discouraged, you need to realize that God is in control. If God's in control, then who is it? Who am I to say that person should not have been elected? Right now, we've got a governor in this nation or this state who believes he's going to be president. And right now, he believes in not only aborting children, but up to 28 days after birth, called murder. He wants that put into law. He wants so many areas that are against God's anointing. And yet he was reelected. Why was he reelected? Because God allowed it, exactly. If God allowed it, then we need to realize, what's God trying to do? When Israel was in Egypt, God heard their voice. When they cried out, and I don't think we're ready. I don't think the church, not your churches, but in average church across the United States. Like I said, I'm preaching to the choir. Especially not your church. Get that whip out. You better be on fire or we'll send you over to dance church. And gentlemen, I'm just playing with you, okay? So, I am going to visit your church. So, anyway, praise God. I believe that the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, which is called the Last Day Bride or the Jewel's Army, is not formed yet, but it's in the process. And I believe the body of Christ, the power of Christ, is in the making right now. It's in the churches, and I believe that it's up to you. And this sermon is about you, God's messengers, going out into the world, out into your families, and getting them on fire. So praise God. I see Larry Capello back here. I wore this for Larry, my star, because I believe that we need to realize that 1933 in Germany, they began to restrict worship. They began to move in certain areas and take away rights from certain people. And by 1938, they took those rights and made them laws in which certain sects of people could not worship in the synagogues or in their churches. And the guys like Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was not a Jew, who was arrested because there was no freedom of religion anymore. You had to have a state church. And right now, there is a process in our government to remove churches until they become part of the state. And these are things that we need to be aware of. And these are things as a reminder that God is in control. But yet, we've got to be aware of the fact that there is a warfare and the church hasn't shown up yet. But the church is going to show up because we got two pastors in the building right now that's going to go stand on the corner and say, "Wake up! Wake up, church!" And so I'm still doing a review. We haven't started the sermon yet. So let's see. Are you establishing God's government and authority in your home? Don't demand God's authority and God's government in the presidency or the governorship. Start increasing God's government in your house. Wake up, begin to teach your children. Our kids are being taught, don't drink, don't smoke, don't have fun, don't do anything. And we're going to have a youth and we're going to have punch and we'll go, "Oh, Jesus loves me. Yeah, yeah, yeah." And the teenagers go, "Thank you very much, I'm gone." We need to show our kids the authority that our kids are going to have this generation when two or three are together. I want them to be on fire and pray for me. I want to see God's young people stand up and prophesy. I want to see God's authority in what is happening in the youth because they're on fire for God. And if they're not on fire for God, then look at somebody and say, "Shame on you." Look in the mirror, actually. Okay. So praise God. And are you training up the next generation for prayer warriors? Praise God. Okay, now I think we can have raise up an army. Okay. Jason Upton, in case you want to know who this is. Like Joel saw, praise God. Raise up an army. Raise up an army. There you go. Praise God. Praise God. I don't have much time. This sermon is titled "The Walk of the Powerful Last Day Bride" or "Joel's Army," and there's some of the criteria that I believe we need to come into play. We need to put into our lives. And so this resource study was Sarah, and Sarah was about one thing. I mean, I believe in teaching concepts. There were a lot of little details, but the concept was there is a child of the promise. And the child of the promise, no matter how hard they tried to work it out by the flesh, God finally lifted up the child of the promise. And the child of the promise is a seed, not seeds, and he's a promise of God that's upon you. And you are grafted into Israel right now because there's a promise. And you're not, as Wendy's going to teach in Galatians 4, you're not of Sarah, I mean, you're not of Hagar, upon this concept of legalistic Torah of the Sinai. You're now walking in the Spirit because you're a child of the promise. Somebody say, praise God, hallelujah. When you realize that you're from a promise made some 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, then we need to be going, oh my gosh, praise God. Our God is so powerful that he knew me back then. He knew when I was going to be born. He knew I was going to be short and ugly. He knew I was going to have a heart for God. He knew all these things. He knew in the last days of my life, because I'm going to Florida in a couple of weeks to our Beth Tahila, and they put up a picture in their announcements and all this of me, and I wrote back to Pastor Nick and I said, that picture looks like me at 100 years old, and I'm only 90. And so, anyway, his bride are going to be the warriors, and you can't see. I thought we had a picture there. Oh, you can see it. Oh, that picture. Do you see this is an army? But what are they doing? And I believe that that's where our power and our authority is going to be, because God told us that the weapons we use, and they've got weapons, are more powerful than the weapons of the world. And the weapons we use will bring down every stronghold against the body of Messiah. And the weapons we have are so powerful that we're going to have the prayer of God, of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, in every word that we pray. And the last day bride is going to, and I'm talking about young people as well, is going to lay hands on situations. They're going to pray, and situations are going to change because they are anointed and believing in God. I love the fact that when somebody says we need prayer, it's like, well, then let's do it right now. Well, no, not now. Don't pray for me during the week. I said, if you need prayer, by golly, it ought to be right now. And so thank you, Pastor Wendy, for ringing up Mark. And I think that we need to be so sensitive that we need to be in season, no matter what, no matter what the situation. So what God is doing is raising up an army, and the bride that has faith in Messiah, he'll raise up an army of Yahweh, an army of Yah. And that army right now is being formed. And I believe it's some of it is here in this church. Some of it's in Pastor Dan's church and Pastor Travis's church. And Bill Grassman out here goes to visits a lot of churches, and I believe he's seeing the bride in some of these churches. And the bride that says, in the name of Messiah, we're going to bring down every stronghold because the power and the anointing of Jesus Christ is in me. In me. Can I get a hallelujah? The children of promise are not lukewarm. By the way, did Messiah say something like Revelations 3:16? I love that correlation. There's a bunch of scriptures throughout 3:16. Look up all the 3:16s, and half of them will get you excited. The other half won't. So because you're lukewarm, you're neither hot or cold, meaning you go to church, you tithe, you'll be good. You don't drink, you don't smoke. I think Travis said this to me the other day. You don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't chew, and you don't go with girls that do. And praise God, I'm lukewarm. Well, you're doing a real good job being lukewarm. But you know what? His body is not going to be lukewarm. Look at somebody and say, you look hot. Now, be careful. Don't say that to a woman. Yeah, never mind. Let's back up. I'm sorry. Look at somebody and say, you look really nice. So praise God. Okay. The last day bride, you will be my witnesses. The last day bride, somebody say, hey, that's you. That's you. The last day bride will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. I need to buy a globe because every time I teach this illustration, take a globe, touch Jerusalem, now find the backside. There's no cane. That's all right. Find the backside, and that's Grand Junction. Well, the reason I don't get a globe is I don't want you to prove me wrong. But But it sounds good. It's a good. So if Grand Junction is the ends of the earth, then shouldn't we be his missionaries to the ends of the earth? We're so caught up in being missionaries here and there. But you know what? God placed you here in Grand Junction as a missionary to the body, to restore the body of Christ in Grand Junction. This is so far out, it's unreal. You may not believe me, but I believe Grand Junction is going to be a fire for God. I believe you're going to drive into the valley, and as you drive into the valley, you see fog or smoke, but you're going to see a pillar. And you come in from Utah, and praise God, you just now left Mormonism, and now you're coming into Grand Junction, and you see a fire, and you call 911, and they say, there's a fire. And the fire department says, yeah, I know, it's okay. Because this area is going to be on fire for God if God's people begin to prophesy. And the word prophecy, from the Hebrew concept, not the Greek, is Navi. And Navi means to repeat the words of God. And the words of God is all men will see God's glory. And guess what? All men are going to have to drive to Grand Junction to see God's glory, because we believe in what we can't see, and we prophesy in what we can't see, because Hebrews 11:1 says, I have faith in what I can't see. Amen. And I can't see Grand Junction being on fire for God. But you know what? God can. Yes. And if God can put that in my heart, guess what? He'll put it in your heart too. That's right. And if he won't put it in your heart, perhaps you need to study Hebrews 11:1. Okay, so you'll be my witness to the ends of the earth. Who will go to my body? Who will teach and preach? And we need to understand the word teaching, as we have the fivefold ministry in Hebrew, is the concept of bearing witness. Bearing witness is one of the most important things in the fivefold ministry, because we need to bear witness everywhere you go. So every time you leave, they'll say, there was a prophet or prophetess of God. Because the power and the authority of God should be in me. Even all of you guys in the back, you guys should be raising your hands and say, I'm a prophet of God. I'm a prophetess of God. Praise God. And start believing in what the Word says, because the Word has been anointed, and the Word is real, and the Word is just doctrine, just religion. I believe when we get to a point where doctrine doesn't matter, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, because the power of Jesus Christ says to love God with all your heart. I challenge you, go to any church in this valley, any lukewarm church you want, and say, do you love God? And they'll all go, oh, praise God, hallelujah. Do you love the people in the church next door to you? Well, no, they don't believe the way we believe. I don't care how they believe. Do they love God with all their heart? Then guess what? We can join hands and take the authority over the realms of death in your family and mine. And I want to see my family and yours excited about who God is. Amen. I deserve more than one little lady in the front row. So there's two little ladies. Will my body go and teach and preach the word? That wasn't rhetorical. Will my body teach the word? Everywhere you go is the word of God. Who will intercede? And I believe that God's calling his people to have a heart for God so strong that I don't care who offends you or whatever, you're going to still intercede for God's anointed in Grand Junction and this earth. When I say the earth, you know, the nation, it might be too big. So let's start small. Let's start small. Let's believe that God's going to anoint Grand Junction. Does anybody believe that? Okay, a few of you. The rest of you need to stay for a lesson on faith, okay? So praise God. Let's see. I'm going backwards. And I heard a voice of Yahweh saying, whom do I send? And who will go for us? And I want you to repeat these words. And I said, say that. I said. Okay, read this. And I heard a voice of Yahweh saying, whom do I send and whom would go for us? And I said, here I am. I couldn't hear you. Here I am. Send me. Do you know why I had to repeat that? It's not an evangelical thing. It's because I believe you need to hear your voice prophesying. And as you prophesy the word of God, you begin to hear it in your soul as well. Because God created this earth. God did all miracles because there was a word. When you sang that song earlier about Ezekiel, there was a word. The word of God was told to this man called Ezekiel to prophesy over my dead church. And it was the word of God that he prophesied. And he prophesied that the Holy Spirit would raise up an army. The Holy Spirit would put sinew on these bones. The Holy Spirit would breathe into these bones because the word of God is what we need to claim, and we need to repeat and prophesy the word of God. Let's start right now. Yahweh, anoint my family. Say that. Okay. Do you realize you're prophesying? And we need to see God's anointing as you prophesy and see the word of God because it comes out of your mouth. I've got a scripture here about Deuteronomy, but say this with me. God is in control. Let every soul be subject to higher authorities, for there is no authority except from God, but those that exist have been arranged by God. Amen. I sometimes tell God, don't love me so much. You know, and right now I expected a whole different outcome on the election, but you know what? God said, I'm in control. Amen. I've got a plan that you can't see. Right. And whatever the plan is, God's going to use the plan to bring his Spirit, his anointing, into the body of Christ. The body of Christ may be lukewarm, they may be immature, but the fact is God's got a body that he's going to raise up an army. He's going to raise up a people that believe in their prayer and going to see God's anointing come down, and we bring down every stronghold in every place and every authority, and we put light into dark places because God said, you are the light of the world. Right. Yeah. Praise God. Yahweh allowed the enemy to think they won. Praise God. And that's really important to realize that they think they won, but the fact is God's in control. Hallelujah. Yahweh is waiting for his kingdom and his government to be established. Oh, God, would you establish your government? Oh, God, would you do this? God is waiting for a government to be established because the body of Messiah is going to pray and bring that authority in. The weapons we have are prayer, and that authority is what God's going to establish. And so here we go. You've seen this before, quantum entanglement, which means that at one time there is a concept in people's lives around the world that's all the same, and nobody can explain it. Now, Einstein, and we have Einstein's brother in the front row here, and he's got the same haircut and the whole bit. Einstein actually said, this is called quantum entanglement. Around the world, there's going to be theories, and everyone's going to have the same concept. And I think it was one of the prophets, God said, I have 7,000 just like you preaching the same thing. And I believe this quantum entanglement is what I'm saying around the world, is God's people are beginning to realize that they need to step it up. They need to become the witnesses of God. So praise God. Joel 2:11, and Yahweh shall give forth his voice. Yahweh shall give his words, his voice, before his army. For his camp is very great. For mighty is the doer of the word. Mighty is the doer of the word. For the day of Yahweh is great and very awesome. And who does bear it? Somebody say, I do. Praise God. And I'm going a little fast because I've only got 19 minutes left. I've got 2 hours worth of notes left. So anyway, and Yahweh's army in James 1 became, or Yahweh's army will become mighty doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving themselves. But he that looked into the perfect law, by the way, Torah means God's teaching and instruction, and God's Torah is not the first 5 books of the Bible. It's from Genesis all the way through the maps. And if your Bible doesn't have maps, you're not saved. And but he that looked into the perfect Torah, that of freedom, and continues in it, not becoming a hearer that forgets, but a doer of the work, this one shall be blessed in his doing of the instructions from God. Amen. And God is instructing his people. And the only sin that I see is when we hear the voice of God, we don't follow the voice of God. And that disobedience is worse more than a lot of other sins you may think are mighty. But they walk in the Spirit and the truth. We need to walk in Spirit and truth. We see that that Psalm says the Torah is truth. The teaching and instruction of God is truth. It's eternal righteousness. And that's called truth. But Spirit, where is the Spirit? Is the Spirit only in Pentecostal churches where you speak in tongues? Okay. In Deuteronomy 6, 30, verse 6, and Yahweh your Elohim shall circumcise the hardness of your heart, cut a new way the hardness of your heart, and the heart of your seed, your generations, to love Yahweh your Elohim with your heart and with your being, so that you may live. With all your heart, so that you may live. What God is doing is when we see the Torah of Sinai, the first four books, we see that generation died. But the second generation was given Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a Greek word, deutimos nomos, which means second law, and it was given to the children, and it's only in Deuteronomy you'll see the circumcised heart, you'll see the heart for God, you'll see God's commandments are now supposed to be on your heart, and the Spirit of God is supposed to be on your heart. And the commandments that God puts on your heart is what God wants you to do. It is eternal. God's promises are eternal. Because of his eternity, you're part of the blessed covenant children. Because he is eternal, his salvation goes back to the covenants he made with Abraham. And the covenants of God are still real. And these covenants that are eternal are God, is what God's trying to write on our hearts. He's not trying to ask you to be legalistic. He's trying to get you to be on fire for God. If you're on fire for God, watch out. And if you're on fire for God, you should walk around saying, hallelujah, praise God, more often. And we did that one song called, it said, hallelujah. Hallelujah is praise. And it's supposed to be Yah for Yahweh. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. No, somebody say, hallelujah. Okay, praise God. Okay. In Genesis 15, verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to him. I love this. I love researching the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. It came to Jeremiah. It came to Isaiah. It came to all of the prophets. And it came to several others because the word of the Lord came to him. Somebody say, and the word of the Lord came to me. How can you say that without saying hallelujah? If the word of the Lord came to you, what is the word of the Lord? Now, I'm asking you, not Jews, because if I ask a Jew what the word of the Lord is, they're going to say, I don't know. You know, most Jewish people, we've been there, what, 8 times, and I've got to meet a lot of them, and this last guy, I got him so excited about the Spirit of Messiah. How could Isaiah prophesy over Messiah without having the Spirit of Messiah in him? And the word of the Lord, I said, is, do you think that could be the Spirit of Messiah? And he said, I guess it could be. I said, well, I don't guess. It is. And we have a Jewish prophet named Yochanan, which you haven't heard of, to the Jew. And he said, and the word of the Lord became flesh. And the word of the Lord is Mashiach. And he goes, where is this Jewish prophet? And I said, well, it's in our New Testament. Which I didn't want to tell him. But the fact is, he understood there is something that he's never considered before about the word of the Lord. So right now, I've got a few things here. Let me go back one. anyway, I believe that we all should realize, how many here are saved? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, would you raise your hand? You must not be saved. So afterwards, we have an altar call. It's over here at 1:50. Okay. No, I don't even know what time it is. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is if you have had an experience of faith in your salvation, then guess what? The word of the Lord came to you. It said, you are mine, you are redeemed, you are forgiven. Every one of your slimeball sins is forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. And don't bring it up anymore. So God is redeeming you because he knew you in the womb, and now he's letting you know that of all the religions in the world, all of them are storming the gates and trying to get into the kingdom of God. Every one of them believe that they're going to 70 to a heaven with all sorts of women and wives and stuff. But nobody has the access. That's why God says they're storming the heavens. But some of you here, those of you that say amen, the rest of you are lost. Some of you here have access to the word of God. Oh, come on. Come on. That deserved an every. Amen. That deserved the people in the back standing up and saying, praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, one obedient heart. Boy, the church is full of people that aren't obedient. I'll give you another chance later on. I don't mean to embarrass you, but I do mean to embarrass you. So anyway, I believe the word of the Lord came to every one of you if you got saved. If you broke your heart and said, forgive me, and you were in tears and God's spirit came into you, the word of the Lord came into your life. Somebody say, glory to God. And this bride, this remnant, this army, they kept God's commandments. If you keep my commandment and you abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. I get people all the time saying, well, praise God, you got 613 commandments, which is in the Torah, but we've only got two, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. I said, well, the New Testament has 1,050 commandments. And the fact is, if you loved your neighbor as yourself, you would learn to love God's blessings and God's Torah, God's teaching and instruction. I'm not saying how to be legalistic. I'm saying we need to see people on fire for God's love. So there was a Christian song when I was a kid. All you need is love. Anyway, the love of Messiah. By the way, all music has been stolen from us. So I'm taking it back. Anyway, so even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his spirit, his love. And they understood authority. They understood submission. And so all authority in the church was given to Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, and he gave the authority to his followers. Somebody, look at somebody and say, that's you. You should walk in that authority. You need to see that God's authority was given to God's Son, and God's Son said, hey, I'm out of here. I want to give it to you. And so he gave you his authority on this earth. And it's time that we begin to walk in his authority. It's time we begin to prophesy together. If two or three are gathered together with God's authority in his name, in his spirit, then guess what he says? Not only is there, but as you pray in his name, it shall be given to you. If we're walking in his will, it's going to be given. And I know his will is for the last days to have the spirit of Yahweh lifted up. Somebody praise God. Are your prayers begging God? Somebody say, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I know they sing that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I want to say a slave to sin and fear. Fear is the biggest what if problem we have today. What if my kids don't serve God? What if, you know, our governor is reelected? What if, what if, what if? You know, what if is nothing but fear. And if you have a what-if mentality, you're not walking in the spirit of redemption. So when God says, are you still begging God? When we go to God and we beg God, how many figured out that you're a child of the King? Have you ever seen the child of the King come in and beg God, beg his Father? You're a child of the King. God wants you to walk in his authority. And so let me give you an illustration. Are you beginning to understand that you're a child of the King? Praise God. So they changed, Peter changed his prayer life. I believe every one of these Jewish men began to change their prayer life. When Peter was at the Mount of Transfiguration, you remember this? You know, Peter and James and John were over in the corner and Jesus was talking to himself. And Peter said, look, he's talking to himself. And Jesus said, I heard that, Peter. And God, Yeshua says, God opened his eyes. Peter prayed in the flesh. He came over and he saw Moses and Elijah. Praise God. His eyes were open. But his heart was still a Jew. And so he prayed the obvious. Let us build a temple, a tabernacle for Moses and Elijah. A year later at the gate, on the way to the gate, beautiful, in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. Peter and John are walking up to the Temple Mount and they see a guy on the ground, on his mat, saying, I'm begging for alms. And what is Peter saying? Peter, silver and gold I have nada, dude. And so, but what I do have, and he didn't say, in the name of Jesus, oh God, let me beg you for this man's life. He wasn't Peter from the Mount of Transfiguration. He was now Peter in the spirit, and he said, hey, get up and walk, and oh, by the way, get your mat and get out of here. In the name of Jesus? No, in my name. I've been given the authority of Jesus. I represent Jesus. I'm his ambassador on the earth, and I claim this land, your heart, for God who has the only access to the kingdom through his son, Yeshua, Jesus. And so when we begin to see Peter change, he now believed in Hebrews 11:1. I have faith in what I can't see. Matter of fact, my faith in what I can't see is the proof that I need in the kingdom court of God. Praise God. Proof, faith is the proof of what I can't see. Praise God. Read Hebrews 11:1. You'll see all these men and women on this chapter of faith. They had faith in what they can't see. They had faith in what they can't see. Abraham, I want you to pick up everything and then get out of here. Where are we going, God? I'll tell you later. Just go. Oh, I can't do that. I got to know where we're going. I'm a man that's in business. I'm detailed. God said, are you going to get out of here or do I find someone else? And so what did Abraham do? He goes, Sarah, pack up. We're leaving. Can I go too, Uncle? Lot, you can go with us. But the fact is, Sarah and Lot were saying, where are we going? Where are we going? I said, I don't know. We're just going. What kind of faith is that? That's faith in what we can see, and it's a lot of faith. Praise God. Peter changed his authority and prayers at the Mount of Transfiguration to the Gate Beautiful. And the word of Yahweh, I love this, went on growing and spreading. How did it spread? We're in Acts 12. This was after the death of Messiah. How did this concept of Messiah and the Messiah spread? By people. Because Jesus said already back in Acts 1, my authority has been given to you and I am asking you to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Well, where would that be? Well, start in Damascus. And so there's a guy on his way to Damascus and the Spirit of God comes along and goes, hey, you, get off of my cloud. And so he falls on the ground. You know his name is Saul or Paul. But the fact is, God's spirit was growing. And I think that's what I'm trying to say is I really believe God's anointing is going to grow from way out here on the west end to all the way over to Palisade. Amen. It's going to grow. It's going to go up the valley. The way the river goes, well, the Spirit of God goes the opposite way. That's true. When you go to Egypt and the Spirit of God was growing in Egypt, it went down the Nile. Well, the river Nile goes up. And so wherever the river is going, just look at the opposite and say, that's where God's Spirit is going. So praise God. Anyway, somebody say it's growing. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and the same Spirit and the same motivation is in somebody. It's in somebody. Maybe it's in somebody sitting next to you. Okay, so say this. It's in me. You got to keep reading. Anyway, it's in me. And I believe that, this real quick, for this command, which I am commanding you today, is not far from you. I love this. The word of God is not far from you. No, it is not in heaven for somebody to say, who shall ascend into the heavens and bring it to me, bring it to us, and cause us to hear it so that we should do it. Nor is it beyond somewhere. Nor is it beyond the sea to say, who shall, I didn't sing it, who shall go over the sea and bring it to us? Bobby Darin? No. And cause us to hear it so that we will do it. For the word of the Lord is, I love this. And I want you to say this to two people around you. The word of the Lord is very near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. Speak it and do it. Say that to somebody. Prophesy over to the people in the back row. And somebody prophesy to all those people back there. I believe God is using that part of the Torah for Christian believers today. I believe it's time. When we see the handwriting on the wall, when we see the concept of restrictions like this represents, then it's time that the body of Christ begins to call out the name of Messiah. Because the word is very near you. Where is it at? It's in you. Praise God. So the word of the Lord is in you, but you are the one who must be willing to allow it to work in you. Are you willing?
Yes.
Praise God. So out of this 70, 80 people, two people said yes. Oh, amen. Praise God. Praise God. There's three. Anyway, praise God. I believe that God's wanting a willing heart to mold and to use in these days. I believe God's going to do a mighty work in the body of Christ. John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall also do, praise God, hallelujah. Now what else? And greater works than these he shall do, unbelievable, but true, because he has to go away, and he's only influencing 1,000 people, and if he goes away, his Spirit is going to come and be in the whole world. And the whole world is going to know his glory, and the whole world is going to begin to see greater works. Well, let's say that's 2,000 years ago. Is it going to happen today?
Yes.
Why? Very good. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His authority was yesterday. His authority is mañana. But his authority needs to know, we need to know, it is right now. It is today. Praise God. So, do you have faith in the promise of greater works? I believe we're going to see greater works. I believe we're going to see greater authority on this earth when three or four people of God who are anointed by God lay hands on each other and begin to see God's anointing in the land, and God begin to change hearts in the land. When we pray for the body of Christ, we're praying for all the churches who go by the name of Jesus Christ to be on fire for God. To be on fire for God means praise God. Praise God. I want to serve God in everything I do. I want to think about him. I want to do everything I can towards the kingdom of God. So do you believe in that promise?
Yes.
Praise God. And the word of the Lord came to me. Say this with me, please. And the word of the Lord came to me. Whom?
Me.
Whom?
Me.
Okay, that's about half of you. Okay, so the other half, I'll really pray hard for you. So anyway, I know people say I don't like to get involved. Well, you know, what does God's authority say? Let's do what God's asking. Say this with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. whom does he say?
Me.
Because Yahweh has anointed
me.
He anointed me. Does anybody know what me means?
Yes.
He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He's anointed
me.
Say me when I stop. He's anointed me. I want to hear you prophesy over the body of Christ, which happens to be me. He's anointed
me
to bind up the brokenhearted. Praise God. We got a big job ahead of us. He's anointed
me
to proclaim the release to the captives. Praise God. He's anointed
me
to open the prisons, both physical and spiritual sin concepts. Praise God. He's anointed
me
to announce the acceptable year of Yahweh. When is that going to be?
Now.
Say that a little louder, please.
Now.
Amen. He's anointed
me
to rebuild the old ruins.
Yes.
That's the teachings of God, God's instructions, God's Torah, God's power in His Word. Praise God. His Word is what's going to bring anointing. And then, but you shall be called, and this is still in Isaiah, you shall be called priest of Yahweh. Say, we are servants, we are priests of Yahweh. Praise God. If you're a priest, you're called to serve, and we're called to be His servants. Praise God. And anyway, this is just something Wendy and I saw yesterday. Son of man, can these bones live? Oh, Lord God, only you know. So praise God. God is, God was, and God will be using man. When you think back on God's miracles, was he involved when Elijah laid on top of the dead boy? Was he involved when the widow had enough oil to sell to her neighbors? Was he involved when he said, I want you to come out of Egypt. I will give you a man that you don't like, but he'll take you out. We need to realize that in those days, God used men. In the days to come, God is going to anoint men, and man is going to be used for God's miracles. Ezekiel 37:4. And Yahweh said to me, you prophesied to these bones, and you shall say to them, O dry bones, hear. O dry church, hear the word of God. Wake up. Isaiah said, wake up, shake the dust off your feet and hear the word of God. I believe God's going to do that. Therefore, Yahweh say, therefore prophesy. God is telling Ezekiel to prophesy, and you say to them, thus says Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will open your graves. I will bring you up out of your graves, my people. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. The word land is retz, and it also means inhabitants of God. So God is going to restore us to the land. He's going to restore us to him. And is Yahweh using you?
Yes.
Look at somebody and ask them, put them on the spot. Is Yahweh using you, Jim? Say yes. Say praise God. Amen. Why or why not? So that's the question of the day. Shall we pray? Shall we teshuvah? Which means, shall we repent? Shall the body of Christ repent for being lukewarm? Shall we repent for not walking in the authority and the prophecy that was put upon our lives? There's many people here that have the gifts of God, and some were prophesied over. And are they using those gifts? And that's what God is saying today. We need to ask God how to be his witness, how to be in fire for God. And he wants to use
me.
You. Praise God. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me ask you, are you allowed to be excited? Are you allowed to jump and shout and say praise God? Or do you have to go to Pastor Travis's church? Anyway. Somebody say praise and honor to our God. Praise God. Anyway, and next week's our person is Toldot. It's our generations, and it's more than just you. It's your family. Let Pastor Wendy know if you would like to be added to the mailing list and go on the list for the Torah. Okay, so praise God.